Now, school principals say there is confusion and uncertainty around the government's donation scheme, which may lead to some trips and activities not going ahead. Schools have a month to sign up to the scheme, where they'll receive $150 per student in return for not asking parents for donations for core curricular activities. So far, a third of the country's 1,700 schools have opted in. The PBTA Secondary Principals Council Chair James Morris, who's also principal of Darfield College, says he's hearing from peers around the country unsure about what constitutes core activities for which donations cannot be sought and extracurricular activities for which schools can charge a fee. He's with us. Good morning, James.
Tēnā koe, Catherine.
Yes, and kia ora also to Michael Williams, principal of Pakaranga College, who estimates under this scheme his school will have a shortfall of $300,000. Morning, Michael.
Good morning.
James, first, what is it about the rules that is causing confusion and concern? Are they not clear-cut?
They're not clear-cut, never really have been particularly clear-cut, and there's been a wide sort of grey area that schools have operated in. What the guidelines endeavour to do is to define the difference between things that are curriculum and theoretically schools should pay for and things that are extracurricular that parents might contribute to. But realistically, that definition has never been particularly clear, and some would say that everything that a school does is curricular, and some would limit it much more than that. And so the guidelines have now started to define things more tightly, which would mean that a number of things wouldn't be able to operate if schools were required to stick to them.
So what are the guidelines being tighter about? Be specific.
So, for instance, with things like school camps, now most people would think it's reasonable that if a school is running a camp that there would be a contribution from parents for food and for transport and for accommodation costs and those sorts of things. But the guidelines talk about that if the camp has anything to do with the curriculum, which, as I said, can include almost anything, then it would be an expectation that it would become a donation. And really the risk for schools is that by calling something a donation, it risks that a significant number of parents don't pay for it or choose not to pay for it, which means that the school would be left with a large expense which they haven't budgeted for.
And to be clear, you can't enforce the donation. You can't enforce the donation. That really is the big change. You can ask for a donation, but you cannot require it.
No, and that's always been the case, but what has changed are the range of things now that we are required to call a donation. So we would previously talk about a camp fee or a trip fee, but now there's an expectation that that will now become a donation and we'll need to be very transparent about it being a choice.
What about outdoor education?
It depends on the sort of outdoor education. Again, so camps are one sort, but a number of schools, particularly secondary schools, will run outdoor education programs, outdoor pursuits courses, which are very expensive to run, as you might imagine, with the equipment and the instructors, etc. And so, you know, schools might charge $500 or $600 for students to do a particular course like that, which they'd just be unable to cover. Now, because it's a course that the school runs, the guidelines suggest that it is part of the curriculum, and so we would need to make it clear that that was a donation, so an option for parents to pay or not, and schools simply couldn't afford to run those courses.
A third of schools have signed up. The scheme is open to lower and middle decile schools. Is the uptake higher, do you know, among the lower decile schools?
Schools will have made a fairly clear financial decision about whether for them they will be better off or not by opting into it. And so at the moment, because there is a lack of certainty or clarity about exactly where things may sit with it, then I think a lot of people are just sitting back and waiting to see where things pan out before they make that decision.
So there's no clear pattern among those who've chosen to uptake at the moment.
Clearly, the schools that would be would benefit the most from it are those that would have the lowest contribution that their families are able to make with donations.
And always have had. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Michael Williams, principal of Pakaranga College, could you explain $300,000 sounds like an awful lot of money. Can you please break down for us the situation you're in if you go to the scheme?
$300,000 is a worst-case scenario. So on this, very simplistic, the bill is good because the donation, most schools ask an upfront donation at the start of the year. If it simply replaced that, that would be good and our school would break even. Not a problem. as James has pointed out, it's around all the other implications. It's all the richness that schools provide into their curriculum, that according to some of the ministry guidelines, everything we do could be termed core curriculum, which means the school has to pay for it. You might be able to ask for a donation, but clearly the government's propaganda is around donations are voluntary, which is correct. You do not have to pay for them. The school will provide. But we cannot keep providing those things. You know, James had the example of outdoor education camps. Parents realise when students pick that, it's going to cost a lot of extra. So what will happen is courses like that will possibly disappear, or there'll be a very reduced number of activities happening. And this will happen right across the curriculum. Many, many schools have worked really hard to deliver authentic, exciting learning experiences for the kids to make school more relevant. That's what we've been encouraged to do, make it more relevant to the outside world, get the kids out, seeing where science, English, maths is happening in the real world. That will stop if it's by donation, because schools cannot plan a trip hoping someone will donate some of the money. It's a big question mark about what will that cost be. So schools will be looking at massive losses, or our biggest fear is we will just gut the curriculum. It will go back to what the government funds, which is a very subsistence education. No frills, in the classroom, watch the video, don't actually do the activity.
What are the areas that you see as being, the things that you see as being in this grey area, where your view is it should be a fee, but the ministry seems to be saying it should be a donation? What's the breadth of activities?
A classic one where the minister's been caught politically is around Year 9 camps, when the first word broke on this. First, people initially thought about things like Year 9 camps, orientation camps. They wouldn't be able to go ahead. The minister's put an exemption in there so we can ask for a donation for a Year 9 camp. But the ministry, so the minister and the ministry have ruled that a Year 9 orientation camp is core curriculum. It's a core part of going to school. That doesn't make sense. If it's a core part of the curriculum, that would mean every school in the country must send their students on a Year 9 orientation camp if it's core curriculum. Clearly it doesn't happen. Some schools do it, some don't. Therefore it must be an optional extra. But the ministry has ruled it's core curriculum, therefore you can only ask for a donation. If it was an optional extra, we could charge a fee for it.
What about beyond camps, though? What are some of the other activities that schools now provide that would be questionable?
We'll see lots of trips out of schools. For example, we were in Auckland. My physics department take the physics students to Rainbow's End. It's an amazing experience, physics in action, great activity. We won't be doing that if we can only ask for a donation. That will have to be an extra, optional extra thing to do. It will gut the richness of that course. And there's cases like that right through the school. The biggest questions for us will be outdoor education as a key one. Geography is an interesting one. Geography, we do lots of geography field trips because it brings geography alive. We'll be going back to the bare minimum of outdoor experiences for those geography kids, which is really sad.
What about the likes of Kapa Haka? I think I heard 2,000 schools now have Kapa Haka, which is brilliant, but is this another thing where if you were to travel to some event, you would previously probably have charged a fee?
That's the problem we've got. Numerous schools, ourselves included, have actually asked the minister and the ministry specific examples. Are these activities optional extras or core curriculum? And the ministry will not give us answers. All they will put back to us is the generic guidelines, but they won't ask specific questions. I've asked specifically around Kapa Haka going for trips and haven't been given an answer.
So that's your problem, is that if you're going to limit your ambitions, it's not that you might not do anything, but you're probably going to limit your ambitions according to cost because you don't know how much you're going to get from parents. Is that the grey area?
That's a grey area. For example, for us, a Year 9 camp, we're a very large school, that's a $100,000 venture to take all those students on camp. I can't go ahead and plan that if I'm only going to get $50,000. Where would I find the other $50,000? And it's examples like that right through, not with such big zeros, but cumulative effect is massive uncertainty for schools.
We've got quite a lengthy statement from the Ministry of Education. They were invited on the show this morning, but they instead provided a statement. Katrina Casey, Deputy Secretary, Sector Enablement and Support, declined. The statement makes clear a lot of what we've been saying, that the law has always been really clear that you cannot charge fees for activities and resources that relate to the curriculum. They have been able to ask for donations, free to pay and follow apart. So staying this has always been the situation. Similarly, requirements around school camps remain unchanged. Schools can still ask for the donations towards camps, even in the case of overnight camps, if they've opted into the scheme. We have guidance available to all schools about when they can ask parents to pay for many years, including historic and current circular reminders in our school bulletin. I mean, basically she's saying we've always given you guidance, nothing's changed.
True, possibly, but it's always been a very grey area. But the problem now is we do know that the Ministry has said they're going to employ 8 extra staff solely to police the rules. Previously, if you broke the rules and you asked for a fee rather than a donation, you got told off. Now, if you break the rules, there is in the legislation a clawback. The Ministry will claw back some of the 150 they've given you, or a big chunk of it. And with 8 staff to police it, they're going to be doing it, obviously, pretty aggressively. So it's gone from, if you erred on the wrong side, you got a growling, to if you err on the wrong side now, you will lose funding.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have got the funding unless you'd signed up.
But if you don't sign up, how could you rob your community of that money that's coming in to start with?
So your worst fear is that people will just scale back their ambitions?
Oh, yes, and schools will be forced to scale back the rich, vibrant learning experiences they're providing now. They'll start to disappear.
Thanks, both of you. Things to ponder. Speaking there to Michael Williams, Principal of Pakaranga College, and earlier to the PPTA Secondary Principal Council's Chair, James Morris, also Principal of Darfield College. Keen on your feedback, 9 to noon at rnz.co.nz. Text us to 2101 or tweet us at 9 to noon. Do they have a fair point? Or is it simply what has always been, still is, and stick to the rules?